Oh, yeah. That's the... I think we might have to keep looking. I think we might have to keep looking. That was a little too headbanger-rific. I need a little bit more soul. I need a little bit more melody. But that
we've got 12 clips to pick from. We'll find one.
We will find one. But yeah. that was like the beginning to Hannity in the 90s.
Oh dear.
What's the name of that group? Dear. Who's doing that? Who's doing that headbanger-rific?
I'd have to go back and look. It's my friend Jake's band.
Well, your friend Jake, those guys sound good. They sound good, and we're going to find some of that sweet sound for the intro to our show. We got a big one, and I've already figured out the theme, Gypsy. I've already figured out the theme of the show. Are you ready? Because this is also going to be the title. Here you go.
Okay.
You are being nudged. There, I said it again. So that's going to be the theme of the show.
Okay.
The subtle mind games that most people aren't even aware of. And there was a great article about this, I believe, in this Scientific American scientific. I should be able to cite my sources, but there's a big article about it in a scientific journal that I read, and it kind of shook me up. However, before we jump into that, it's a little bit of bait and switch. There's a couple things that I just want to land on really quickly. Contributions for Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
This 4-year-old kid. I keep saying he's two when I talk about him in the videos and stuff. He's four. He's 4 years old.
Still a little now, kid.
Still, right, and should be allowed to keep his sight. A lot of people gave. I'm keeping an eye on this. Mm-hmm. And so I want to say thank you to the listeners, to Jeff and to Daly and a bunch of other people. Those are the two that jump out right off the gate. We got to raise like $3,500. We've raised a few hundred. You still have time. And this is the thing where, and this is going to sound so hokey like Jerry Lewis telethon. Well, we're going to cure him. He's going to walk out of here. I had to do it. I said, when you say the words Jerry Lewis, you have to do the voice. But just give what you can. $10, $20, $5, whatever it is. Let's do this. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. So thank you if you've already given. And if you haven't yet, it's super easy. TheLoftusParty.com. Just click on contributions to Caleb and whatever you can. But it's a 4-year-old kid, and we're a cool community, and we can help him. It's a cataract surgery.
Yeah.
You can do it. And on a more personal note, we have opened up our new online store. The new merch is great. I ordered myself a shirt. It's the distressed logo. There's tons of great stuff. I'll get another coffee mug. So it's up, it's open, it's on Facebook, it's on our website. It's wonderful. So go check that out. Okay. So, we're not going to do a bunch of hurricane news. That won't be happening. But we are going to talk about you are being nudged. You are, and this, it was this article in some scientific journal about how you're being nudged, and it's scary to me, and it goes to Google and everything. Now, you probably don't know about this, Gypsy, because you're a girl, and you sit when you pee.
Yes, I do.
But here's what happened in Norway many, many moons ago. The government was spending a boatload of money cleaning up the men's rooms, right? They would have to constantly go in and mop the floor because dudes' urine was going everywhere. Guys weren't paying attention to their aim. So the initial thought was put up a sign that says, hey, dudes, steer your wiener. Please don't urinate on the floor. But they thought it was an economist who actually came up with this idea. For whatever reason, dudes like to target stuff with their urine stream. So what they did as a social experiment is they in the urinal, there's a little picture of a fly. You've probably never seen this. You can go online and you can see it. I noticed it a long time ago because I travel a lot. They start doing it in airports. So anyway, they did this in Norway. It's a little outline of a fly at the bottom of the urinal, close to the drain on the urinal. And because that little fly is there, dudes would try to hit it with their urine stream. And the cost of cleaning up the men's room went down like 80%.
Really?
It was wildly, wildly effective. So now you'll see it's in urinals everywhere. These little pictures of flies at the bottom of the urinal. And you probably, if you've ever noticed it and you wonder why it's there, that's to make you aim your pee. Because it's you make these little choices. And so now, governments and the big thinkers and they're trying to figure out how else they can do this in other aspects of your life. So now most people would probably see this as good news. I see it as terrifying. I see it like I'm okay with the fly thing. Like I pee on the fly too. However, when you have Google out there, and this is like, to me, it's the biggest story. One of the biggest stories of the week, the last 2 weeks. Google really, really believes that they can influence elections and get more votes and steer the way you're thinking. Now, if they can put a picture of a fly on the bottom of a urinal and change 80%, they can change a lot of minds just by putting a freaking picture of a fly, what can Google do? What mm-hmm. can Google do? And this is like, I wanted to bring this up. Tucker Carlson. Now, oh my gosh, he's quoting Tucker Carlson. I am. Because they have emails. And Google has not denied that they sent these emails. Mm-hmm. But Google executives telling the Clinton campaign, we can get you the Latino vote. We can do it. We can adjust hashtags. We can adjust search results. And to me, if you're not terrified by that, you should be. And a bunch of Google executives weeping because lost the election. Like, and I'm watching the Sunday shows this morning, and people are just so laissez-faire about it.
No, but like honestly, having worked in corporate America, if I was at a corporate meeting, you know, in my last roles at the director level or whatever, and I had a senior vice president, I think she was the CFO.
Yeah.
On stage.
The chick crying.
Weeping. I would have been like, get me the heck. What is going on?
Yes.
There is no crying at work.
If you are a conservative and you work at Google, you're like, ooh, I better fly way below the radar. I better fly way below the radar. So you'll have a hard time. And this is weird. We live in America where you're presumed innocent until proven guilty, but like they're definitely steering the search results. And when they say they can do it, oh, we'll help get you the Latino vote. And then they have an apology email as well.
But I mean,
in the apology email, they're like, we had no idea that like 28% of the Latinos would vote for Trump. We had no idea.
How insulting is that in and of itself? When we say we're going to get you the X vote because all X people think alike.
Oh, it's crazy insulting. Stop. It's crazy. and then which leads me to my next one. Like they're like, oh, we had no idea all these people would vote for Trump. And that occurred to me. I had to smack myself upside the head this morning for like I'm still listening to these morons. Like I'm still taking their stupid polls seriously, and they'll say these, oh boy, the president messed up here, Americans have a bad feeling about this. Like, no, like your science has been blown out of the water. Everybody got 2016 wrong. They all got it wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. These aren't scientific polls. I really don't think they are. They're designed to get an outcome to make you feel like a weirdo if you don't do what they want you to do. They're nudging you. And they're disguising it as science.
You know, I've said this before, I mean, there's math behind polls, but you can manipulate statistics. You absolutely can. I think there's some people out there that do a better job than others. I actually think Nate Silver does a really good job and tries to be really, really fair. You know, but, and what's the guy who was on Fox? Frank?
Frank Oz.
No,
Frank Oz, the voice of Yoda and Miss Piggy.
No. He's the one that does the like
Luntz.
Town halls after the debates
Frank
and stuff.
Luntz.
Yeah, I think Luntz tries to do a really good job.
Well, you know but what? Here's Frank Luntz. He was so jacked up about the election results. I'm not kidding you. He bought land in like New Zealand or Australia, somewhere down under. He's like he's ready to check out. Like here's a dude who's like, you know, like celebrities are always like, if Trump wins, I'm moving to Canada. Frank Luntz bought property. He's ready to go.
Oh dear. But okay, so my
your point is some people do it well.
My point is some people I believe try to do it well. But and I think I've mentioned it before that, you know, I have a friend who's over in Israel that I've met on social media, Joseph Levine, really interesting guy. And when Barack Obama was trying to influence the elections in Israel, when he didn't want Bibi to win.
Yeah.
You know, the polls were all over the place. And Joseph's explanation for this is very simple. Well, we just lie to the pollsters. It's none of their business. Like nobody inside Israel takes those polls seriously.
Well, that's the other thing I'm trying to get to is like these polls and their results are not meant to reflect public opinion. I think they're meant to change public opinion.
I'm not disagreeing. I just think there is probably a subset of Americans at this point that go, I'm just going to tell them what they want to hear because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I mean, I know I'll get called occasionally, and I'll purposefully lie. But then I'll also if the question is just super insulting to me, I'll go over the top. Tell them the truth. Yes, I think there should be a wall, and it should be an electric fence, and it should be at to a voltage that would throw a dinosaur 125 yards. Yep. I'm talking zap, like really over the top. But here's another way of
that's
nudging.
That's like what you do at jury duty.
This is gonna be the title of my book. You are being nudged, because here's another way they nudged. They try to nudge people this week, and they just went too far with the whole. I'm calling them Obama's curtains, right?
No,
the New York Times. The New York Times comes out with this article. And they title it Nikki Haley's curtains, blah, 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 blah. And they talk about the price of these curtains, and it's $265, blah, blah, blah. And then they say, and it's buried like four or five paragraphs down, that this was all done under the Obama administration. And then you have these people on television going, well, it was a mistake, and they issued an apology. It's
no,
they knew
no.
it. The editors knew it.
No,
and
that
they
was a,
did it, and they gave it that headline to nudge public opinion. That is
more like
propaganda.
A shove. That is more like a shove. Like
yeah,
seriously,
they got
that's
greedy.
Journalistic.
They got greedy.
That's journalistic malpractice. I don't care who you are.
Oh, it's not malpractice. It's straight up propaganda.
Oh,
it's straight up propaganda.
I was reading the. Oh God, I'm just sitting there going, really? This it reminded me of. During the primary, Marco Rubio's boat or something.
Yeah.
It like all got into his finances from when he was younger or something. And, oh, look at this guy. He can't possibly be president. He can't manage his own money. Really? This is where we're going?
It is. They select the headline. They know what they're doing. And I say, and I'm not talking about like there's, you know, Illuminati or anything. But it's the New York Times. They're not stupid people. The editors of the New York Times, they're not stupid. You can say a lot of things about journalists and so-called journalists, but they're not stupid. This amount of mistakes, at a certain time, you say, well, these aren't mistakes. You can't just issue an apology. You know, I'm sure there's a mathematical ratio to it. If you tweet this grossly misleading thing, it gets X amount of retweets. and then you publish a retraction or a correction, and it gets a handful of retweets. So mission accomplished. You have nudged us. You have tried to nudge us. Stop nudging me. That's what I want to say. Stop nudging me.
But it's not. It's just not working.
I hope not. I really hope not. I get worried. I'm human. I get worried that people just want to fit in. There's that herd mentality. I just want people to like me. I just want to fit in. All of my friends don't like Trump. Ergo, I won't like Trump. It's not like people are busy. You know, people are like, I'm late for work. I got to pay my bill. I got to get the kid here. A lot of people don't have the time to dig in and do like hardcore critical thinking. If they do have time, if you could, and that's, I guess, ultimately what I was trying to do with the show and trying to do with loftusparty.com, do it in an entertaining fashion where people would just casually flip by and go, holy crap, am I being nudged? And I did a video about it. Are your thoughts your own? And I think the more we do this and the more we talk about these issues, it's really, really, I don't like the idea of being corralled. And I'm going to fight whoever's trying to corral me. They might have the best of intentions. They might be, you know, I might be like an animal, you know, and the rain is coming and someone's trying to corral me onto Noah's Ark. And maybe I'm going to drown because I'm an idiot. But I'm going to be like, seriously, tell me, where are we going, Noah? Where are we
Socialism.
Going? There better not be a slaughterhouse in that ark. Now, you say it's going to rain. It is socialism. They're nudging
us. It is socialism. And of course these people are trying to nudge you because they're going to be the people that get to keep all their money. You really think Bernie Sanders is going to give up one of his three houses? Do you really think Hillary Clinton's going to get – come on, people. We know how this works.
We got Owen Benjamin coming up. I talked to Owen a little bit about this. It's great. Owen's a dude who's not being nudged, and whatever. We'll get to that interview in just a few minutes. I wanted to weigh in on a couple of other things. Yes, the hurricane is bad, but I don't know. I don't. Sadly, at this point, in a weird way, it's like local news. I don't know if it's national news anymore. What is national news? And this is just another nudge. And this is a great thing. Hold on. It's like all these pundits, they don't understand why the president won't let this Puerto Rico thing go. He won't let this Puerto Rico thing go. And it's like, I love it when Trump gets into stuff like this. Because here's the deal. Like, it did go from 16 people died in the hurricane, Washington Post, 16 people died in Puerto Rico, which was Trump's second hurricane. It was like, bam, bam. And then all of a sudden, a year later, the number is 3,000. Like, I think they're talking about the butterfly effect, right? The right. Guy who tripped on a tree and the tree wouldn't have been there without the hurricane. And then he got an infection. And because of the effect, like, seriously, Trump has to fight back about that. You're not gonna tell me I killed 3,000, like he personally killed 3,000 people in Puerto Rico. Blow me. And then so he fights back, and you got all these, and you just see these weak-kneed political pundits, even on the right. Well, this is really bad that he's doing this, and this is unseemly. You're the morons who don't understand anything about this. 2016 was a shock to you. And now I love that these, like, really? So how did these 3,000 people die? Tell me how they died. It shows a callous disregard for human life. No, I'm sorry, they're dead. I'm very sorry they're dead. But, like, how did Trump kill them? Oh, it's fantastic.
You want to know what's disgusting?
Yes.
Millions of pallets of water that was sent months and months and months ago. And the infrastructure and management of Puerto Rico sucks so bad, it's still sitting in the warehouse. It never got distributed.
And they're sitting outside.
Do not talk to me about what our responsibility was to go in and now fix all of the infrastructure that we've been giving them money for years to fix.
We're going to talk about this on the other side. We're going to throw in some pop culture. We're going to keep this going. Cause I, oh my gosh, I got to get, I still got to get to, 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 to Brexit. I still got to get to John Kerry. I'm full of rage. So let's lighten it up.
Nudgy rage.
I've been nudged towards rage. Don't nudge me. I will rage on you. You guys, we got Owen Benjamin on the show. Owen Benjamin, he and I go back for a while. I was on his podcast, and finally he's on my podcast. He's out. He's doing stand-up. They have tried to slap him down. They have tried to slap Owen down. And you know what? Just like Jurassic Park, nature will find a way. Comics will find a way. You can't keep something funny a secret. And that is what Owen is going through right now. And it's not a secret. He's doing some great stuff. He's doing some shows. As promised, ladies and gentlemen, we got Owen Benjamin on the show. Owen, how you doing, man?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Now, where are you currently? Where are you right now as we speak?
Right now, I'm in San Antonio, Texas, and then I go to Houston and Austin and Atlanta and then West Palm Beach, Florida this week.
I love it. Now, we were texting back and forth, and I wanted to know, what's the club? What's the club in West Palm?
Well, that's still, when people get tickets online, I send them the location. Just that way I avoid all the robocalling of SJW nonsense machines. So
gotcha.
My website's hugepianist.com. So I rented out a really cool theater, and it's going to be a blast. And when people get tickets, my wife just says where it is. It just saves a whole headache.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. That's super smart. Now, how long have you been running it this way?
About 6 months. I did it like last tour I did. I booked a bunch of, I would rent my own spaces at like colleges or like music institutes, because I figured that was fine, because I'm a musician. So I'm like, oh, these people are cool. They need money. They're down for anything. And I just kept getting canceled, and they just give me my money back because, you know, people would just call all day saying I'm a Nazi. I'm like, well, you know, I'm not a Nazi. And they're like, we just don't want the headache. And that's really what it is. It's just cowardice. But people, because even people that know you're not what they're claiming still will just be like, you know, it just isn't worth all that. And I'm like, but it's lies. And they're like, yeah, so is Santa Claus, you know, but like, so instead of just complaining about it, I just fixed it. And that's how I fixed it. And fortunately, people that like me are usually like really cool. So they're down. They think it's kind of funny.
I think it's awesome. And it's, I tell you what, it's beautiful, man. Taking that negative, because yeah, that's exactly what happens. They just, people who have no intention of going to the show, all they want to do is mess up your life and mess up your way of living, and they're literally smacking food out of your kids' mouths.
Yeah.
They're just there to make a hassle.
And for a while, it was like, in the beginning, it was a little depressing and scary, where I'd be like, just like what you said, you're smacking food out of my kid's mouth. But now I realize the best way to look at it is like, okay, this is a riddle that if I solve it, I'll be in a better place after, because that's what keeps happening.
So yeah.
I just have to figure it out. You know, that's why I'm a big free market person, because you have to have the freedom to figure out how someone can benefit from someone else's irrational anger. So every time something like this happens, I'm like, okay, so what fundamentals do we need? We need a place that's, you know, like a structure with a stage and electricity. It's like, you know, I did a movie theater in Cleveland. I did this giant wood shop in Portland. It just was packed. And I remember one of my opening jokes was, leftists can't come in here because they can't be anywhere near where men actually work.
Ah, ha!
And the stage,
I think it was awesome.
Yeah, and the stage was this giant, like, military truck. It's just like, and that's what the America, like, because sometimes I think about, like, what is America? Like, what does America mean? And I think that's what it means. It's finding a way, like, just being like, okay, this is the problem. Let's fix it.
And I think, dude, it's so yeah. great that, and I just have to jump in just because I want to shine a light on it. And the element of fun to it. Like, you've taken this negative and made it insanely possible. Like, now I want to go to a show. I want to buy tickets for a show because I don't know where it is. And then all of a sudden, there's like, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
all of a sudden, there's like this surprise. Oh man, he's doing stand-up on the back of a truck, and I'm in a lumber yard. This is great.
Yeah, and it's so fun. It's like, Yeah, it's like comedy speakeasies.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is like, dude, where I know you thought this and I know I have thought this for the longest time. I would say the free thinkers, the people who don't want to be manipulated, are the cool kids, and we're having a better time, and we're doing cooler stuff.
Way better time. Yeah, when people, and that's the one thing that always happens too, is they'll come out and see, or like they'll watch, like someone would watch me on a Steven Crowder show and be like, oh wow, I heard that guy was like a Nazi. He's like insanely funny and like a good guy. I'm like, yeah. And same thing that happens with me. Like, people come to my show and they're like, that's it? They're like, that was just normal funny. And I'm like, yeah, but normal funny is now rape. So,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, they're so trained with like Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert and all these like literal government propagandists. And I know they're government propagandists because they used to be funny. So they have the ability of being funny. So for somehow they just stopped. And, you know, Jimmy Fallon wouldn't let Norm MacDonald on his show because his staff was crying. Like, that isn't comedy. The word comedy has a definition, and that ain't it.
Dig it. I did a video about that on my YouTube channel about Norm MacDonald. And I know Crowder was like, Norm is the tip of the spear. I think that's a little much, but like, I'm going to support anybody telling jokes anywhere about anything. But it was crazy that they canceled Norm. That's serious, like legit thought police. Like they sat down and they go, because Norm MacDonald thinks this way, we can't put him on TV. It'll hurt somebody's feelings. That's
Well,
we've gone over the edge.
It pushes an agenda that goes against the big government, big control stuff. And that's all it is. It's big government control versus smaller government freedom. And that's why Stalin and Hitler had a lot more in common than people want to admit. You know, this whole political spectrum is a horseshoe, is such BS. It's not. It's just they're trying to make two socialist big government fascists on different ends so that no one knows, you know, normal American freedom. And I'm not going to stop. We just have too much of an ancestry to stop. It's like, that's what people died. I've had relatives die for that. It's like, I'm not going to just be like, oh, mean YouTube comments, I'm out.
That's it. That's what the founding fathers did too. Like Thomas Jefferson was like, what? Sam Adams or John Adams said, what about me? That's it. I'm tapping out. He said I was a tranny. That's it.
King George 99 said what?
That's one of the things. I did it on my History Channel show, and I'm going to be doing it again. Like, historical tweets. Like, it was vicious back in the day.
I loved it. Yeah.
Everybody acts like this viciousness is new. And people, well, it's hyperbole, but you got to get over yourselves. Like, words don't hurt. Dude, I was watching, and I'm going to bring this up on the rest of the show, but, like, old Cat Williams stuff. Did you see Cat Williams on that Atlanta radio station?
What do you do?
Oh, dude. He laid into everybody. He laid into Kevin Hart. He laid into the Emmys. He laid into Hollywood and the way they just choose their stars. And it was hilarious and smart at the same time. I think people forget how smart Cat Williams is. And I would urge everybody to check out his clip on Hillary Clinton.
Oh, dude, you got to check it out. That's awesome.
No, he hated Hillary.
No, that's what I mean. He went at her. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said he hated her.
Well, that's one of the things about Norm. That's one of the things about Norm that I've always had so much respect for. Is he's one of the only guys ever, when he was on The View, he's like, yeah, well Bill Clinton, like, didn't he kill the guy? And he just kept acting like it was common knowledge. He's like, that's common knowledge. Like, the assumption of consensus is the funniest thing to me, where it's like, everybody knows that.
Yeah,
they freaked out. They had like murder in their eyes.
And like Barbara Walters. He will play through. Norm will play through. It's like weird. It's like when Kanye West came out and he's like, yeah, I like Trump and I like free thought. Like, I was first of all, way to go, Kanye, to support free thinking.
Yeah.
But like, Kanye will betray you. Kanye is the same dude that said George Bush hates black people. right? So I'm not going to wrap myself. And then Norm Macdonald is another guy. As soon as it suits his comedic purpose, he will throw anyone under the bus.
Yeah, but see, I almost trust that because that's what he's supposed to do. It's like it's like his job is that. It's like he's like, whatever is funny, I'm going to do. And I'm like, and that's why I trust him, because I can predict his lack of predictability, which is why I like it. But if it's like, yeah, exactly. But he, as a gatekeeper, that's a nightmare, where someone's just like, whatever suits their political agenda. Like, you have to have, you know, shared principles and values. And that's what I think is really threatened now, is the multiculturalism being like, assume that it's anything to do with race, and it actually has to do with values, where it's like, you have to value free speech, the right to protect yourself, you know, all this stuff, limited government, or else it's no longer America. It's just soil and trees.
It's too funny, man. I saw Alyssa Milano.
Oh, she's like schizophrenic.
But she's like, the president wants to do this thing with FEMA. Is there any way I can opt out? Is there any way that the average American citizen can opt out of this government? And like, no, lady, that's the problem. That's right. Why I don't want big government. You can't opt out. Government does shit all the time I don't like, and you can't opt out. Welcome aboard. You're a conservative.
Oh, dude, I know. Like, that happened to me once in L.A., like, at the very end there. Like, someone was like, if you could go back in time and you saw Adolf Hitler in a crib, would you kill him? I don't know if I could. I'm like, you've had two abortions that weren't Hitler, you know? and I remember, and it was just like that, the rage that would that was always responded to something like that. And I'm like, how do you think people feel that don't want to fund what they believe? I'm like, I get you don't believe it, but let's say someone else believes that that's killing a baby, and you have to pay for it, and you're called a Nazi if you disagree with it. You're upset about FEMA? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's just so ridiculous and in the forest and can't see the trees, and they're just so dug in on one way of thinking that they don't see the bigger picture.
And it's the force. It's the force that does it. It's the force that does it. The force where there would be such a more just nice society if people just didn't have to pay for what they hated and then called names for what they hated. You know, I think this whole like us and them stuff that I'm now part of, I think sometimes being like this, oh, I'm a centrist, I'm in the middle. It's like, no, then you're a coward, because there is no middle. Like, there's no, like, you can't not pick when you're dealing with socialism. Like, it's like, are you against socialism at least? It's like, yes. It's like, oh, then welcome to the right, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. I would have this argument, which is why I don't understand the never Trumpers. You know,
right,
people are like,
yeah,
the election. Same. The election. It's not a binary choice. It's not. It's totally a binary choice.
Of course, it is. Yeah,
it's
never
completely.
Trumpers should have stopped after the primaries and then be all support Trump. It's like, of course, it's a binary choice. That's like being like broccoli or cauliflower and be like, I want pizza, or I'm gonna kill myself. It's like, no, adults make choices. And Trump's grown on me a lot. Like, that's the irony of Trump, is Trump's done a much better job than I thought he was going to do. And it's like,
same.
Yeah, so many people are so locked in their like way of thinking. That's why I've developed this disdain for the left. It's not even that they're these like you know, misguided hippie types. They're literally like vicious now, because, you know, they said that Trump was going to like round up Muslims, and he was going to like take away all the rights from gays, and he was going to tank the economy, and everyone should sell everything, and that every rain shower is because of not, you know, and none of it happened. It's lowest black unemployment. You know, our economy's doing great. No one's rights have been taken away. Like, we're not escalating wars. It's like insane. I just don't get what they're saying.
There has to be some kind of plan behind it. There has to be.
Oh, there is. I mean, there is definitely a plan behind it. But it's the people that we know that I don't understand. Of course, there's like there's what Eric Weinstein calls rent seekers, rent collectors, like people that have a plan. You know, there's people that don't want borders for a very specific and extremely financial situation. And then there's all these idiots that, you know, are in LA that are just like, we have to hug every rapist from El Salvador. You know, they just, I'm like, how do you fall for this? There's some people that it's in their interest to have open borders. They want the votes and they don't want to have to pay for the absurd minimum wages that they themselves make. So like, so these morons will be like, oh yeah, livable wage, $15 an hour. So what do they need? They need a bunch. They need a million people without social security numbers so they can pay $5 an hour. It's just, and it's madness.
And it is madness. It is madness. It's the definition. You keep trying the same thing over again, expecting a different result. And they do these things where communism, socialism, it never works. It never works. Stop telling me you got the recipe wrong. We've tried capitalism once, and we're on the moon, and we saved the world a couple times. Yep. We're curing diseases. Like, what? I just don't see. What is the downside to capitalism, free markets, and letting individuals protect their property and have a good time? How are we losing? I don't understand.
Well, it's because I've been studying, like, Russian Revolution a bit ever since, you know, Caitlin was Woman of the Year. And and Lenin said that they don't need the majority to believe, to follow them. They just need the railroads and the telephone lines. And that's pretty horrifying, because that's the thing. It's socialism and communism has never worked except for like 20 dudes that got all of it. And so it's
too funny. Even when, like, right now with like Bernie Sanders, that just like, here's a dude whose wife tried her little system of financial planning. Her college went under. Bernie has three houses. Bernie has nice cars, but he's talking about equality. It's like, my God, you morons. Look to your leaders. They're actively lying to you.
Well, see, that's the people, like, the people I have the biggest problem with are the people that believe in that aren't benefiting from it. Bernie Sanders is acting rationally for himself as an amoral scam artist. Like, he's never worked, but yet somehow he has nonstop money and influence and power and all this stuff, because he's literally just saying words that make people give him money. So it's everyone else that I'm like, what's wrong with you? It's similar with cover-ups of like pedophiles. It's like some pedophiles are just so mentally broken they need to be put down like animals. It's the people hiding them that I'm like, you know it's bad. Why would you not do something? Like, that's the problem I have. And so this whole, like, normal people supporting socialism, I'm like, that's like, you know, rabbits for wolves. It's ignorant and narcissistic to a degree I don't understand.
So here's where I land, and I think it's probably where you land as well. Like, it is individuals like yourself, like myself, like Crowder and some other people. Like, I think going out and being entertaining, yet having this belief system, we're just going to have to do it person by person.
Oh, that's why the hero archetype is the same story over and over again, because it's true. It's like one person can change a ton of stuff, because the thing that happens to people is there's fight versus flight, but there's also fight, flight, and freeze. And so many people right now are so stunned because they don't understand, like, the rate of change is by design. It's like one minute, you know, you're playing with a monkey with your kid, the next minute it's racism, and then there's 77 genders, and then, you know, Harambe and a storm. And they just don't know what to do, so they freeze up, and when they freeze, they get predators that can take whatever they want. So they just need a few people like us that just keep acting like sane individuals, and then they can then follow that. Because most of the population are pretty good people. They're just kind of, I call them zebras. They kind of, because the stripes on zebras is to blend in with other zebras so they don't get hunted. So they just cuddle up. Yeah. And so they just have to look towards someone else and be like, oh, because I keep hearing this over and over again. How come they can say this, but we can't say that? I'm like, you can. Watch me do it. I might get kicked off Twitter, but who cares? It's like, just say it. Like, nothing happens.
I tell you what, this is the thing. And as I've known you for a while, and we both kind of run in the same circles. I watched what happened to your career. I watched you saying these wonderful things and these truly like edgy, thoughtful. You're not an idiot. You're a smart guy. You're a super funny guy. And I saw the SmackDown, and that's when I was like started really reaching out, because I think like-minded, we have to huddle up to some extent.
We do. No,
so that's why I'm so thrilled, man. I'm so happy about your secret shows. I'm so thrilled about your secret shows. Dude, people need to go to hugepianist.com.
Yeah, and thank you so much, because that's really necessary. It's necessary that I call it proof of life, because if you show, like, I can now shoot specials myself and sell them from my website. If you show that Netflix isn't the only place to go, it's so powerful. I don't think people can understand how important that is, because the fascists, the centralized control people, they need people to feel like they have no options. And so when I get annihilated and everyone watches, that's why I'm always very public about my when people take me down and when things go well, because I want to show people the whole story. And they see my children being born. They see my yard turning green, and they see my clips getting funnier. And that lets people know, like, you survived this. This is like that mirror from the Neverending Story. You know, you just stare at it and then just keep walking.
Well, that's the scary thing about, like, with Alex Jones. You know, he's gone from Apple, he's gone from Twitter, he's gone from Facebook. Like, does he still exist? Is there still enough, like, can people just call people on the phone and go, hey, I saw this thing? Is that enough? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it is, though, because that's the thing is, people are, fortunately, we're not Canada or Europe. Like, America has that spirit that's awakening of, like, you can't tell us to do this stuff. This is not in our blood. And my audience has now grown from like, I had like a big dip. CIA dropped me when I said children couldn't be trans. And then I was doing tree work again with my brother and just kind of like figuring stuff out. And now it's better. Like I sell more tickets now. I have a more fun career. I have more time with my family. I don't have to go audition for people that are morons. You know, I think the future is really bright for comedy. I think it's going to decentralize. And people are just going to start making their own stuff and having their own audiences. And there's people in the entertainment industry that we both know that are closet conservatives that are really thinking of how to do this. And I don't mind being a scouting party, because I am like real artsy. Like I am. I'm one of those. I'm like a conservative with like not. I'm not a liberal. I'm liberal. I have liberal tendencies. The way the word was originally used, where I'm like, yeah, let's figure out how to make this into a house. You know, I'm like one of those guys. And
yeah,
so I don't mind being a guinea pig, because that's kind of how I think naturally. But the reason I drifted right wing is because I realized that after trying a bunch of stuff, that was the right answer. So I'm not just in a constant state of chaos, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny, and that's a great way to end this segment, man. Is like the future is bright. There are alternatives. I want to get some stand up or a clip of you, and I'm gonna put it on theloftusparty.com. People need to go to your website, hugepianist.com. Go out to a secret show. There is a place for the misfits. There's a place for the people who still dig individual rights, and we can laugh, and we can still help each other, and we can poke fun at idiots. And Owen, dude, I'm so glad about everything. I'm so glad about everything.
Thanks for having me, man. Yeah.
Oh, anytime. Have great shows. Tell Texas. Are you? You say you're in Austin now, or you're in Houston?
Austin and Houston tomorrow, and then Tuesday. Today San Antonio, Houston tomorrow, and then Austin Tuesday. But that sold out already. So, and then Atlanta Wednesday, and then West Palm Beach Friday. I think.
Okay, when you're in,
they may already be sold out. But if there's tickets available for people, they can. They just got to do it like ASAP.
Hey, well, when you're in Austin, Sandy Bullock's sister has a really good restaurant. I think it, what is it, 3rd Street or 4th Street, which is the big, I can't remember the name of the restaurant, but you got to go check that out. Austin is a great town.
I will.
Dude, so glad to hear about everything. Stay in touch, brother. We're going to put some clips of you up on theloftusparty.com.
Check out Leftist Fitness Instructor, you'll like.
Leftist,
Yeah, I just put it up like a week ago. It's called Leftist Fitness Instructor.
All right, we'll do,
just trust me on this one. All right, cool.
All right, and then you and I will talk in the future. I want to put together some dates for us. Maybe there'll be secret shows. I don't know. And we'll have a couple of other special guests on the show. I don't want to talk about anything until the plan is hatched. But dude, safe travels. God bless you. Have a good one. My best to the wife and kids.
All right, thanks, buddy. Peace.
We'll talk soon.
I like that Owen Benjamin fella. I like that guy.
I like that comedy speakeasy.
That's a I tell you what, that is a great idea.
I got to go online because he says he's going to be in Atlanta this week. I'm going to see.
Oh, my gosh, you should.
I'm going to.
You absolutely should. Well, here's the great thing. I mean, here's to what Owen and I were talking about. More and more comics are doing that. It's a great thing when you're on the road and you're hustling like that. You look around and my buddy Brian Posehn. Real funny guy. He and I wrote together for a little bit on a TV show, and he would do that. He's like, why am I working at a club Wednesday through Sunday when I can just rent out a little rock and roll hall, sell my own tickets? I do all the work and I do one killer show and I make more money. So it's great. And that's, tell you what, they tried to stop Owen Benjamin. They've done everything they can to stop Owen, and they slowed him down. He had to hiccup. He had to rethink it, but he found his way around the problem, and I love it.
Yep, and you know, the sad part is, I mean, they haven't the nudgers.
Yeah,
don't have a clue what's sneaking up on them.
They really don't.
They don't know what Owen Benjamin's audience looks like because he's not sharing it with them. You look at what Dave Rubin's audience looks like. You look at what Eric Weinstein's audience looks like. Jordan Peterson's audience. They have been caught flat-footed.
And hopefully it'll happen again.
Steven Crowder did it on his own. You know, when he kind of got poo-pooed because he was too far right in the general comedy establishment, he built his own thing. So, yeah, these people are going to get caught flat-footed. I truly believe that. I'm very optimistic.
As am I. Okay, so we've had to rework our show a little bit because we took a little bit of a turn in terms of where I thought we were going to go. Whatever, it's great. I like it. So I want to continue on. It's another. I'm trying to figure out how I want to put this. It goes to Manafort and the Mueller probe, and that's all that is a big nudge. All that is a big nudge. I'm watching MSNBC, and they're like, "Uh-oh, Manafort took the plea. What does this mean? 38 people have pled guilty. Manafort was in charge of the campaign." And it's like, listen, if you don't follow politics that closely or whatever, hopefully you don't. Hopefully we've got some new viewers just dipping in. Like, Manafort was brought in for one specific task. He strong-arms people in conventions. He makes sure during the Republican convention, if you say you're going to vote a certain way, that's how you vote. He's a muscle guy. He's a muscle guy. And that's why a lot of other presidential elections presidential candidates would bring in Manafort. Now, listen, everybody knew the guy. He had a bit of a shady background. Yep, he was getting paid to do stuff in the Ukraine, and but that's all part of the same political thing. Like he was working for the Obama administration. Manafort was on behalf of Ukraine and Russian interests. So they act like this is the end of the world. Oh my gosh, he's going to cooperate. He's going to cooperate. Listen, I think the dude looked at the way the deck was stacked, and he's like, "It's bad. I'm getting caught for some stuff I did a million years ago. I'm taking the plea deal. I'll work however I want." But
okay, here's my question though. He worked for Tony Podesta. Where's Tony Podesta?
Oh, that whole thing. That's its own show.
Oh, like, I know, but I mean, I'm like sitting here going, where are the Podesta brothers? Because they
don't even bring it up.
I know.
It's that other, it's like the curtains thing. It's like just that lie of omission. They just fail to mention, oh, yep, he was working for Obama. And oh, yep, he was working for the Podestas. And oh, yeah, when John Podesta forgot to file as he was working for a foreign government, he forgot to file. And they, you know what they did to him? They're like, dude, you forgot to file. And he's like, oops, my bad, computer glitch. And so he filed late, and no harm, no foul. The huge double standard, but they're going to wrap themselves up in this big number of, oh, 38 people have pled guilty, and oh, the head of the Trump campaign has taken a deal, and certainly this will be the end of the world. Blah, 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 blah. It's just upsetting. And meanwhile, as you get wrapped up in it, and this is like I'm mad at myself as we speak because I've been wrapped up in it, and we let things go because you're constantly putting out these fires. I'm still upset about the weaponization of the IRS, but we just got a new IRS commissioner, by the way, and then this is supposed to be great and transparent, but like I'm still pissed about the stuff from a million years ago. With John McCain's office was part of that whole deal. I'm not done with Keith Ellison. Like, what are we ever going to do follow up on that?
Oh, no, we're not going to do that. But apparently we're following up on a letter from some chick in high school on Kavanaugh.
Isn't that just it's just mind boggling. And as we record this, she's now come forward. There's a name to go with it. And she's taken a polygraph test. Of course she has.
Of course she has.
And I tell you what, there's a 50-50 chance this works. There's a 50-50 chance this works. Now that she's putting her name out there,
this will be – we called it. This is again where we were ahead of the curve. This whole Me Too thing is going to be used as a cudgel, true or not, on the right. I mean, they did it to Clarence Thomas too. Sorry. Years ago, but this is going to be a cudgel on the right, and we're just going to ignore scalebags like Ellison on the left.
It's troubling. It's troubling, and it's maddening, and it's frustrating, because what can you do other than continue to bring it up? Like, yep, I'm still mad about the IRS thing. Yep, I'm still mad. I'm like, Keith Ellison, you got some explaining to do. You got some explaining to do. When she says she has a videotape and all that other stuff, and it's like it's relatively recent. It's not like something he did in middle school in 1984 or some craziness. It's wonderfully organized how they will focus like a laser on the stuff they want to focus on, and then slow play or ignore the other stuff. And hopefully, there's enough outlets like this that are talking about it. They have successfully, and you can look to other countries, they have successfully slow played Brexit. I woke up to this. They're talking about having a new vote on Brexit. And here's the ultimate irony. They've slow played it for 2 years. That was flipping 2 years ago. The people of England are like, we want out. They've slow played it. And now Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, is demanding that he's like, the people of England should have a choice in this. They should have a choice in this. We should have another vote.
No, you shouldn't.
They had a vote.
Just because you didn't like the way it came out, it doesn't mean you need another vote.
And that's what we're experiencing with our election. This is a bunch of people didn't like the results. And so they're going to try to put an asterisk by this one. And they're just going to try to slow play everything until they get a chance to do it over. That's mm-hmm. We are in the middle of it. And when and you look at like what the Trump administration has been able to accomplish, it's Herculean. It's Herculean. And I want to give a special shout out to my radio buddy, Larry Elder, which when somebody like has the perfect metaphor, I gotta give him a shout out. He had this tweet the other day, which I just thought was brilliant. He's like, there's two pro golfers, and somebody asks them, how do you determine if someone's good at golf? And the first pro golfer says, well, I look at their swing and I analyze the rate of the swing and the angle of the club head and the trajectory. And he goes on and on. The second pro golfer goes, I look and see where the ball lands. And that's, I thought that was perfect. And that's where I am politically right now. Like, I'm looking to see where the ball lands. And it's, and I tell you what, I'm liking it. I'm liking the way it lands. Everybody's trying to convince me that it's raining. Everyone tries to convince me that it's raining. And aren't I upset about this rain? And shouldn't I be in the umbrella business? And I'm like, dude, it is not raining at all. They're not rounding people up. There's still papers. There's still freedom of the press. There are no death camps. Everything, businesses are going great. Unemployment's down. Like, what is going wrong? Someone please tell me where this offense is coming up. I'm on a bit of a tirade here, but it's just, it's getting so boring. And I had like an epiphany a couple nights ago, especially when it comes to my stand up. It's just like, I gotta go farther. I gotta go farther because it's an outrageous amount of BS now. An outrageous amount of BS.
Well, it's only going to get worse going into 20.
Well, like-minded individuals are going to have to continue to come together. But it's to see these tactics and the slow playing and the highlighting of and it is fake news. It's like the Obama curtains and the Nikki Haley thing. And I tell you. When they can convince you to pee on a fly and change the outcome, and Google says that they can change and get the Latina vote, and then the whole FBI thing, sweet Jesus in heaven, the FBI, like how that isn't on the front page of every magazine, like that, just the idea. Let's just it's a broken record. If you make believe it's true for a second, just make believe. Play detective. Were there at the FBI with Peter Strzok and Lisa, all of it. Just think about for a second. Okay, I had a fan ask about this. I'm going so fast because I'm terrified we're going to run out of time and there's just so much stuff to talk about. Serena Williams, and this is great because we're talking about Serena Williams and that's good for tennis. She really wrapped herself up in, I'm a mother and how dare you and all this. Like, she played almost every card she could possibly play. Now, I get it. Yeah. She's a competitor and she wants to win. And I tell you, she wants to be a hero. She wants to be the hero of tennis, but I think she's a better villain. She's like, because she's won so much, you're ready for the new person to come along. Some stats came out about men versus women. She's like, you're just doing this because I'm a woman, and if I was a man, you wouldn't have blah 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 blah. Okay, so they got the statistics for the fines that have been put out in Grand Slam tournaments in tennis from 1998 to 2018. So for racket abuse, women have been fined 99 times. Men, 646 times. Audible obscenity, women, 140 times. Dudes, 344 times. It's just, the stats are overwhelming. Unsportsmanlike conduct, women, 67. Dudes, 287. So, with the whole sexist and you're just doing this because I'm a woman, shut your face.
In reading off their statistics, one concept comes to mind. Men and women are different. Men are probably more likely to throw rackets.
Yes. It's just
do you know
very,
what I mean? It's like, why, if you're going to behave in a way that gets the other side of that debate sanctioned, why should you not be sanctioned just because you're a girl?
Exactly. Well said. Well said. Hey, if you it's a rule. And if you break a rule, you're going to get in trouble. Sorry, but that's why they're rules. You're just doing this because I'm a woman. No, I'm doing it because you broke a rule.
No, now, nice try. Three of them, actually.
Yeah. But like,
Your coach said he was coaching from the sidelines. He admitted it.
And it might have been even that OK symbol that means white power. Oh, God. Wouldn't have that would have been the trifecta. That would have been the trifecta if he would have given her the OK sign.
You're doing A-OK. Yeah.
Anyway, it's God. I like tennis. I'm happy that there's talk of it. I'm glad that it's, you know, people are watching and all that stuff. I miss the days of there used to be a dude when I was a kid, Eli Nastasi, and he was like a supervillain, and then he was quickly overtaken by John McEnroe, who I was
a big fan of the Boris Becker Steffi Graf days.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That was good stuff. I've said it before on the show, and I'll say it again. Someone, if you know, please contact us on Facebook. Because if you know somebody in the professional tennis world, or like, I'd love to talk to Jimmy Connors. Somebody with some money. Jimmy Connors, John McEnroe, Bjorn Borg, any of those old school guys. Heck, who's the guy who's married to Brooke Shields? Andre Agassi.
Yeah, that was a crush.
Let's start a wooden racket league. I mean, you've got it in pro golf. You know, you've got the senior tour. There should be some kind of like, maybe not seniors, but like a wooden racket league. So that ball control and finesse is more of a thing. Anyway, I just didn't want the rest of the show to go by. Sadly, we've totally screwed the pooch on the pop culture-ness of it all. But I don't know and this is one of the things where I just want people to be aware of this. Google, your good friends at Google. Oh, and you know what? Hit us up on Facebook, you guys, and let us know what other search engines we can use. I'm ready to go to a different search engine. This terrifies me. Google built a prototype of a censored search engine for China that links users' searches to their cell phone numbers, making it easier for the Chinese authorities to monitor what you're looking up. So if you're looking up something the Chinese government thinks is dangerous, Google.
Which is everything.
Yup. Google's like, well, here's an easy way to find them. Now, granted, it's a prototype, but now the science is there. And now they can do it. I know it sounds total. It sounds like a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. It would if it wasn't real. But like when they're doing this kind of stuff, you guys, it's a scary world. Think for yourself. Think for yourself.
And get yourself a VPN.
I don't even know what a VPN is.
VPN is a virtual private network, which will make it look like your internet connection is actually not at your house. So that's one thing you can do.
That's good.
The other thing you can do is use DuckDuckGo or Brave for a browser.
There you have. Why don't you write an article about this for the Loftus Party?
Because you just
why don't you do?
Up.
Oh, here's how you can protect yourself on the internet.
I've been doing this stuff myself for like over a year. So,
I didn't know about it, and as you are metaphorically holding my hand and telling me what to do, you guys, we're running out of time. I don't even want to crack open the can on my disdain for John Kerry. Maybe I just did.
Yeah, but I heard a little.
Just a little of the cracking of the can on that.
Mm-hmm.
What a dick! What an absolute dick! He's running around. He's trotting around the globe, giving the Iranian leaders advice on how to wait us out. If this isn't violating the Logan Act, they just should get rid of the Logan Act. And then when Trump complains
about it, they haven't ever enforced the Logan Act.
I tell you, so Trump's. Oh, I did it. I cracked the can.
It's okay.
But Trump complains about it on Twitter. Trump's like, hey, John Kerry had illegal meetings with the Iran regime. It's undercutting our great work, blah, 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 blah. And then John Kerry comes back with, Mr. President, you should be more worried about Paul Manafort. If you want to learn something about the nuclear agreement, read my book. That's arrogance. Like schoolyard stuff. I want to Oh, I want to punch him in his big old lantern jaw. No, I'm not saying we should. I'm not saying violence is the answer. But, like, I want him. I want this dude to lose his passport. I want him to lose his security clearance. I want him to lose his library card. And where's his wife? Where's Mrs. Ketchup in all this? When's the last time? I want proof of life on that chick.
Well, the other thing I will just say is this. You know who I listened to about the Iran deal? Ben Rhodes. Ben Rhodes. And he told us the truth after he manipulated the press. So, John, thank Ben, because he told us what was really up.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Creative writing graduate.
Okay.
Sorry.
Someone named Johnny Depp. It's not the real John. I just freaked out. I got a Twitter alert that Johnny Depp started following me.
You're like, what? It's not.
This is Johnny
this
Depp.
Is great. 209. I love Twitter.
This is not Johnny Depp, the actor. Okay. You guys, my apologies. Maybe I'll save it for next week. I can't make any promises. I want to thank Owen Benjamin for being on the show, first of all. I want to thank you guys for helping out with the contributions to Caleb. Check out the new shop. Get a t-shirt. Wear it with pride. Take a photo of that. I want to see you wearing it. Ladies, pants are an option. Yeah, I said it. I'm sexist. And lastly, I watched Superbad last night. And boy, oh boy, that movie holds up pretty well. And I guess I must have been laughing so hard the first time I saw Superbad, I missed the very wonderful, heartfelt message. This is the movie that really made, I guess, Judd Apatow as a director, and I got to give him credit. It's a wonderful movie. And here's what I didn't know. Seth Rogen, who plays the cop in that, also wrote that script. He co-wrote that script. Yeah. So it's on Amazon Prime. You can watch that. You can watch it for free like I did last night. But I just want to give props where due. It's a funny movie, and it's a beautiful movie in a lot of ways. That's a good flick. So way to go, Seth Rogen. Way to go, Judd Apatow. You've made one that stands the test of time. All right. I will see you at theloftusparty.com. We're doing more videos. I think I'm going to stick with the two a week now. I'm digging it. The feedback on YouTube has been great. I'm writing more for theloftusparty.com. There's a lot of good articles up there. We're raising money for good causes. There's a lot of good graphic novels coming out. We got some articles about that. It's wonderful. It's good. Don't let them nudge ya. I'll see you guys next week.